So it's awesome he's agreed to let this be audio recorded. And I wanted to say, we were talking about, for a young man, you're a pretty hard worker. You were telling us what you do for your day job, and he was just telling me he has another side job he does that it involves, I guess, detailing cars or whatever. But yeah, you're quite a worker. That's good to see a good work ethic in a young man. That's awesome. We praise you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Hopefully you're that diligent and zealous in the work of the Lord too.
Amen. That's what we're here to help you do. And him and I were just talking briefly about, he asked about tithing, and I said, we don't believe in that. We believe everybody should work, save up their own money. We talked about being frugal, and then we're talking about, we can get to that at some time. I don't know whether we'll get to it today or whatever, about the church systems aren't using the Lord's money with wisdom. But so, Alex, I asked you why you wanted to talk to me today after we met yesterday and all that, and what was your answer?
My answer was so we could talk back and refer to about the gospel.
Right. And you know why that's such a good answer?
Why?
Because the gospel, it means good news, is the foundation of who we are as claimed followers of Christ. And if you know anything about foundations, you probably live in a house, right?
Yes, sir.
Apartment or whatever. And if the foundation was faulty and it started caving in, what's going to happen to the house?
It's going to fall and crumble.
Yeah, it's going to crumble. You'll probably get crushed in it. And Jesus talked about in the parable about a wise man builds his house upon the rock.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's the rock, Alex?
God.
Yeah.
God, his whole.
Amen. Not Peter, like the Roman Catholics say. The rock is Jesus Christ. But the foolish man builds his house on sand, and when the storm comes, what happens to it?
It withers away.
Yeah, it gets washed away. So what we want to do is help you, claiming to follow Christ, to make sure that you understand the biblical gospel and make sure that your life is ordered and following it appropriately. And I'm going to ask you this. What do you think are the advantages beyond gaining eternal life, which is the ultimate advantage? What do you think could be some advantages of the gospel, knowing it rightly? What do you think it would help you do?
Just living your life joyfully, you know. Not to say that there won't be no troubles up ahead, but just knowing how to overcome those troubles. Definitely how to spread the good news in a proper way and not in a confusing way to other people as well.
Amen. Amen.
That's just what I think.
Yeah. How about this one? Knowing the biblical gospel is going to help you rightly divide the truth of God's word as you walk in his spirit, if you're born of it, and that's going to keep you out of error and false ways and false doctrine.
Yeah.
That's a huge one, because we covered it yesterday. Jesus said we must worship in spirit and a bunch of man-made traditions. Is that what he said?
No.
Now, what did he say?
He said we must worship in spirit.
You got your Bible there?
Yeah, I have it right here.
Open your Bible to John chapter 4, 20, and verse 24.
John 4, 24?
Yeah, and what? Can I ask what version you normally read?
I usually read NIV.
Oh, I love you. You know what you do with an NIV? You know what the proper thing to do with an NIV Bible is?
What?
You take it out and you roast marshmallows over it.
No way.
It's a terrible translation. It's corrupted the Word of God. You would be much, 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 much better with a King James or even a New King James Bible than the NIV. And sometime I can go over and show you why the NIV is corrupt. They've taken away words, they've added words, they've changed meanings. It's not good.
Even NLT, that's what I meant, NLT.
That's better than NIV, but I still, a King James or a New King James would be better. But read, are you doing this on your phone, or are you doing this from an actual book?
I have the book in my hand.
Okay, all right, read John 4, 24.
All right, let me find it real quick. I was on Matthew.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yep.
Those are called the Gospels, because it tells the good news of Christ.
And you said John, what?
John chapter 4.
4:24, right?
Yeah. You can actually read like 21 to 24.
21 to 24. All right. Jesus replied, "Believe in me, dear woman. The time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on the mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed, it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth."
Amen. So we worship God in spirit and in truth. What do you think the word truth means? It's pretty simple.
The truth, like, the truth. Yeah. I don't know how to explain, like, what do you mean, like, the truth as in...
Yeah, it's hard to explain away the truth, right? It's like, how do you define truth? That which is true. Not a lie, not an error, not a false way, that which is true. So if I told you the sky is made of watermelon, you'd go, that's not true, that's a lie. What is it? The sky is, you know, or if the sky is blue, the sky is blue. So you know that which is true. Jesus tells us we must worship in spirit and truth. How do we know what truth is? Where would we go for truth?
What would we call for truth?
Where would we go?
In the Bible.
Amen. No? Amen. So in Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus says that we live by every word out of the mouth of God. Amen?
Yes.
Okay. So now we've just set the standard that, one, if you're going to claim Christ, you have to follow in truth. You can't follow in man-made traditions and lies, can you?
No.
No. And then also, we get our truth from the Scriptures, which is Genesis to Revelation. And hopefully, if we keep Bible studying together, I would encourage you to get like either King James or a New King James. I think it would give you a better, accurate picture of God's Word. Some of these newer translations are just not so good, but we'll go over that some other time, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So what I want to ask you about the gospel, it's good news. I want to ask you, and I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I'm a street preacher. I've intended or known to do this with people. I put people on the spot. You ready to be put on the spot?
Yes, sir.
All right. I like that. Will you follow Christ and the gospel no matter the cost and no matter what it calls you to do?
Yes.
All right.
That's what we're called to do, right?
Amen. Amen. That's a good answer. Yes. So remember that as we go through this, and you said, I'm going to follow him no matter what, in spirit, in truth, using the word of God. Remember you said that, because the Bible also talks about, Jesus says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Do you know what that means when he says that?
Let your yes be yes and your no be no, right?
Yeah. So what does that mean? If somebody said, I don't understand what that means, explain it to me. What would you say?
That whatever you put your yes to, it must be a yes.
Yeah.
Whatever you put your no to, it must be a no.
Yeah. So in other words, live by your word.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you tell a woman, I'm marrying you, I'll love you until death do us part. You better mean that.
Yeah.
You tell God, I'll follow you in the gospel no matter what in the Bible. You better mean that, because if you don't do it, God remembers. We might all forget someday, and you might, if you don't stay united to us and you go running off, oh, you're out of our life, we're out of your life, but guess what? God remembers.
He remembers.
You and I are making a recording right now. You agreed to it, and you said, yeah, it'll help other people. I have a little audio going. God has the eternal audio going, and he knows every thought, every word, every intent of our heart. So that's awesome. You said you will follow it no matter what. And that means no matter what it costs you, no matter where it tells you to go, no matter what it tells you to do, you will follow and obey that.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So that's good. So we went over this yesterday, and I want to cover it with you again today, and maybe because now you're on the phone, and you're on the phone with us, so we know you're even more serious seeker. A lot of times people will sit and listen to us for an hour, and they're seekers. We have a grade, a kind of like a description of people. People are like either they don't hear anything and they don't want to hear it and they walk away. That's one type of person. Then we have a mocker. They come up and they make fun and they argue. They're a mocker. They don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Then we have people that are listeners. And some people will actually sit and listen for an hour and go, uh-huh, oh, yeah, uh-huh, mm-hmm, yeah, uh-huh, oh, thank you. And then we never hear from them, and we never know if they truly are just a listener or if they take the next step to be a hearer. What do you think is the difference between a listener of God's word and a hearer of God's word? It's real.
A listener
it's,
and a hearer.
Yeah, it's real subtle. So you listen to the word of God. Ah, yeah, I heard him preach the gospel to me. But somebody who actually hears the word of God, what will happen?
They will do the next step.
Yeah.
That they hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. They'll actually, James says, be not just a hearer, but be a doer.
Yeah.
Okay. So you appear to be a hearer. Because you were listening, now you're here again, you're hearing, and I'm going to hope and believe and pray that you want to be a doer, you say you do. So we want to go back over that gospel. So the gospel means good news. It's the foundation that our life is built on in Christ. And the gospel, you got that card, and it's all over our websites. The gospel, the path to eternal life, what we're going to talk about is very different than what the churches teach. And I'll explain to you why as we go, okay?
Sure.
And this is why we would tell you in love, you got to come out of the church systems that Crossroads Church and any other church, a Catholic church you're already out of. You got to come out of all of those and follow Christ in spirit and truth. And this gospel is going to help you do that. So the gospel, the path to eternal life begins with who Jesus Christ is. He was fully God, fully man. Amen?
Yes, amen.
So he came into the world to do three main things for us, didn't he?
Yes.
He did many things, but he did three main things for us. One, he showed us what God's kingdom would look like and that it had come in him.
Yes.
And he said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he showed us who God was. He came to be the Lamb of God and shed his blood. God had always required in the Old Testament the covering of sin needed shed blood.
Yes.
You read about all the goats and the bulls and the sheep that were slaughtered. And so Christ came to be the perfect Lamb of God, one-time sacrifice for all who would believe and follow him. And then, so you need a sacrifice for your sin, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I do too. So does Brother Zello, so do our wives, everybody we know. We need a sacrifice. Now, we'll talk about how we apply that to our life. But he also came to defeat death. You're a young man. But death is coming for you. You could die tomorrow. You could die in 80 years. But death is coming for you.
Yeah.
So Jesus overcame death. How did he overcome death for us?
By dying on the cross.
And then what?
And reviving on the third day.
Yep. Resurrection. Amen. So those are the three main things Christ did for us. He showed us God's kingdom, showed us the way, shed his blood, rose again to defeat death. He did many things, but those are the three main ones I like to key on with people. And Jesus said to us that in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son that whosoever would believeth upon him shall not perish but have eternal life. You heard that verse many times, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let's start with believing by faith. That's where the gospel starts. Believing on Christ by faith. What kind of faith? If you've studied the Word of God or read it, does the faith that just says, well, I believe in Jesus in my head, that's about as far as it goes. It doesn't really change my life much. I don't really obey him. I just believe in my mind that he's God, and that's going to save me. You think that's going to save anybody?
No.
The Bible says, even the demons believe and tremble. So when people say, I believe in John 3:16, ready? Satan believes in John 3:16. He knows Jesus came. He knows God loved the world. He knows he sent the Son. He knows he was crucified. He knows he rose again. Is Satan going to find redemption?
No.
So the whole purpose of the gospel is redemption. Redemption is rescuing you and I from our sin so that we could go be with our Creator and give him glory and find eternal life, right?
Amen.
All right. Hey, stay close to the phone. You got real low. There you go.
I have my headphones in.
Oh, okay, yeah, I don't know. Stay close to the phone, though, so the audio picks you up.
Okay.
All right. So by faith we come to Christ, but it's not a faith of head knowledge only. It's a faith and an allegiance to follow. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you believe in him, you follow him, and you're willing to obey what he's commanded as fruit that you have faith in him. It kind of makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you...
It's just plain right there.
Yeah. So if you say you have faith in Jesus, but you don't read his word, you don't study it, you don't obey it, you do your own ways, you walk in the flesh, you live like a worldly person, are you really believing and following Jesus?
No.
And Jesus made it clear in the book of John, in John 14, we quoted these yesterday, and John 15, he said, if you are my friend, if you keep my commandments, John 15, and he talked about that those who love him keep his commandments, okay?
Yeah.
So part of following Jesus in a saving faith is knowing that your life has to have action to follow him, to lose your life. Matthew 10, he says, you will not find life unless you lose it. You know what it means to lose your life in Christ?
Yeah, like literally, it's like literally losing your life, but not losing it, you know? It's literally leaving your old life behind to be a new version of yourself.
Amen. Amen. It's the new creation that God promised us, and we'll get to that, that he promised us. So by faith, a believing faith, a saving faith, and I will throw in here, James 2 tells us that I will show you my works that shows my faith, and my faith will produce works. Faith and works go together. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, but many in the church system tell you, oh, you just believe and, you know, God knows you're a sinner and your works don't really mean that much because Jesus did it all. That actually isn't true. Jesus did everything in his side of the covenant, but did you know in the covenant of God, this is, you understand we're in a blood covenant, a New Testament. Do you know what a,
yes.
Do you know what a covenant is?
A covenant? No.
So a covenant is like a marriage. I'm married to Sister Amen. Brother Zelos is married to Sister Kara. We have a marriage covenant. We each have a part to play. I'm the man and the husband. She's the wife and the woman. We've committed our lives to each other, and we're in a covenant, but there's two parts. I can't do her part, and she can't do my part, can she?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jesus, God's covenants were always conditional. This is a big problem in the church system. Have you ever heard of the unconditional love of God?
Yes.
Do you think that's biblical?
Do I think it's biblical? Yes.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not. Huh. Ready? What does that mean when somebody says, well, the unconditional love of God? Does that mean you can be a thief, a drunkard, a homosexual, and a liar and enter the kingdom of God?
No.
Why not? God's love is unconditional, I thought.
I see that now. Okay. Huh.
None of his covenants were ever conditional. Go back to Adam and Eve, conditional. What did he tell them?
He told them...
What's the one thing they couldn't do?
Oh, eat from the apple.
Yep.
Or eat from the tree.
Yep, don't eat from that tree of good and evil of knowledge. Don't touch that. That was the condition. Yeah. Then you go to Noah. What was God's covenant with Noah? So one sin got Adam and Eve thrown out of the garden. What was the covenant condition with Noah? What do you think that was? What did he tell Noah to do?
Oh, to build the ark.
Yep. And I have a question. Was Noah a godly man?
Yes.
He was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. I have a question. What if Noah said, well, God, I believe in you, but I ain't building no ark. I'm gonna go hunting and fishing.
He would have died.
He would have died. Do you see faith and works?
Yeah.
You see that God's love isn't unconditional?
Yeah.
You see his covenant with Noah wasn't conditional? Or excuse me, wasn't unconditional, it was conditional?
Yeah.
How about Israel? He comes along, he gives them the Ten Commandments, he says, I will give you a land full of milk and honey if you forsake your sins and follow me.
Yeah.
What happened to all the people in the desert? Do you know this? What happened to all the Israelites in the desert that were stubborn and stiff-necked and grumbled and complained that God was giving them water and manna and quail to eat? God marched them around in the desert for 40 years.
Yes.
And wouldn't let them go in the Holy Land. What happened to all those people?
They ended up going back to being slaves, right?
No, they died. They died out in the wilderness. Huh. And ready? I love to merge this in here. Ready? Out of 600, the Bible tells us, I've got articles on this called few. I have two articles on few. How many is few? Remember we said Matthew 7, Jesus said few are going to find eternal life?
Yeah.
That word few in the Greek means puny, a puny number. Israel, 600,000 men go into the desert out of Egypt when God delivered them from bondage. They're grumbling. They're in sin. They're not obeying God's covenant, God's commandments. He runs them in circles until all of them die off. Do you know how many men out of the 600,000 got to go into the Holy Land?
None.
Two.
Oh.
Have you heard of Joshua and Caleb?
No.
Okay. Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of 600,000 men, women and children went in, but of the men that God allowed to go into the Holy Land because they were godly and obedient, everybody else was wicked. You see how God is always covenantal?
Yeah.
And he's always conditional?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't find the unconditional love of God anywhere. So I think I just proved that. So let's go back to faith. So by faith, you have to place your faith in Jesus Christ, and you know that it is a gift of God, but there is going to be a cost to it.
Yeah.
Jesus made this very clear. Lose your life to find it. Lay down all your desires, all your wants. I like to teach people this too. The Bible says we're servants of Christ. Okay?
Uh-huh.
In the Greek, you know what that word servant means?
No.
It's doulos in the Greek. It means you're a slave, but you're a slave by choice, right? Because did God force you to follow him and obey him?
No.
You're choosing to do it, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a will and you say, I'm not going to serve you, God. I'm going to go become a Satanist or I'm going to go worship myself. Forget you, God. Don't you have a will? You can go do that.
Yeah.
Yep. You have a will. So God gave you free will and that you could do that. Okay. That you could make a choice to serve him. And so he calls us to lose our lives to follow him by faith in this Savior. Okay. So that's what saving faith looks like. It's a life ready to follow Christ because of his death, burial, and sacrifice for us. Knowing God, this is really important. Have you ever thought of this? God didn't just send his son. God actually sent himself. Have you thought of that?
No, I haven't.
But is that not true?
It is.
Jesus is God. He came in the form of a man, but he came as God himself. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, before Abraham was, I am, in the book of John.
Yes, sir.
God sent himself to rescue you, Alex. And he died a wicked, cruel death on a stake. We say he died on a stake because he did. The word cross actually means a wooden stake. That's what he died on.
Yeah.
Okay, so he died to make the way for you and I and Brother Zelos and everyone else that believes upon him, who will place their saving faith in him, and that faith is going to change your life.
Yeah.
And then, moving on in the gospel, Jesus' first ministry words, we covered it yesterday, do you remember what they were?
No, dang it.
Repent.
Repent.
Lest you perish. So when you look on Christ and you go, wow, this God man died for me. I'm headed in the wrong direction. I want to turn my will over to him and follow him to eternal life. What must you do, Alex?
Repent.
And what is repentance?
Repentance is acknowledging the bad that you have done and coming to the Father and asking for forgiveness.
Okay, that is absolutely true. That's one half of it. But when you come to him and you say, Father, I've been a liar, I've been a fornicator, I've been an idolater, I'm sorry, what's the logical thing you're going to do then?
Repent?
Keep going.
Repent and
change
your ways.
Yeah, are you going to keep doing those things?
No.
No. What are you going to do?
You're going to find a way to be better than what you did. You want to find something that's not going to lead you back into that sin.
Amen. And what do you think that is? We already acknowledge, where do we go and get our truth on how to live?
The Word.
Amen. And Jesus is the Word made flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We know that in John 1. So by faith, this saving faith, not just a church knowledge, not just a head knowledge, that I'm going to go and live my own life. Oh, I need to back up. I missed something. I talked about the word slave or servant means slave. It's doulos in the Greek.
Yes.
I love this. Ready? We're all bond servants to Christ. We choose to follow him and serve him. I love the definition. If you look up that word doulos, it means you no longer have a desire for your own wants, but you desire to live for your master.
Ah.
Isn't that awesome?
Huh. Yeah.
So let me give you an example. I used to be a bodybuilder. I used to be into hunting and fishing as an idolatrous way. I used to be in all kinds of wicked things that the world could have taken me to do, a lot of things that would have made me a lot of money. Maybe, who knows, rich and famous one day. A lot of people get rich and famous. When I became a Christian, I forsook all of that and my desires and my dreams and my hopes and my wants to do what?
To change.
Yeah.
Right?
To serve him.
Yeah.
To make him known. To preach him. Because if I didn't go, we never would have met you. If Brother Zelos didn't go, he never would have met you. If we're all,
yeah.
If we lived worldly, if we just, you know, let me tell you something. If we just lived worldly and went to Sunday church and then went out and lived our own life doing our own thing, hunting, fishing, sightseeing, all stuff, we wouldn't have met you. And if we would have met you, we wouldn't have had signs on our van and we wouldn't have witnessed to you. We would have been like, whatever, we go to church.
Yeah.
You see the difference?
Yes, sir.
So, by faith, repentance, metanoia in the Greek, you come to a place where you realize, I got to turn from this direction, it's leading me to hell, I got to do a 180, I got to follow Jesus Christ. And we already know, he said you got to follow in spirit and in truth.
Truth, yes. Amen.
All right, and keep in mind, man-made religion is not teaching the full truth.
Yeah.
All right, so, when God sees a person who looks to the Savior by faith, who is willing to repent, and we covered it yesterday, I want to cover it real quick. The three areas you mainly have to repent of in this culture here in America, you got to repent of your flesh. Does your flesh lead you astray and cause you to sin?
Yes.
Yeah, you got to repent of that and fight against it, and God will help you. You got to come out of the culture, which is Satan's kingdom. We talked about there's a kingdom of Satan and there's a kingdom of God, right?
Yes.
So you're rebelling against the kingdom of Satan. What is Satan's kingdom?
Satan's kingdom is here. It's here on earth.
That right. So what is it? Give me some examples of what it is.
Like, what do you mean? Like some examples that could lead you into Satan's
kingdom? Yeah, like, or? Yeah. Is politics of God or of the world?
Of the world.
How about movies?
Of the world.
How about sports?
Of the world.
How about pride and vanity?
Of the world.
Yeah. So you got a good idea of what is Satan's kingdom, and then God's kingdom is in his people, in all spirit, truth, righteousness, and goodness.
Yeah.
All right. So when God sees someone who is what we call a willing vessel, you got to be a vessel of God to get the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, do you think you're going to inherit eternal life?
No.
No. Because Jesus said this. Go open your Bible to John chapter 3. You were in John chapter 4. Go open to John chapter 3.
John chapter 3, yeah. Verse what?
John chapter 3, reading verse 3. So by faith, you come to a place of repentance. You're going to live for God, not your ways. And then we get to this place where we must have new life. John 3, 3. Yes. Read that for us.
Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God.
All right, born again. The better translation, and if hopefully we get to study together a lot more, we like to look at the Greek and the Hebrew words. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament's written in Greek. The better translation is really born from above, because the Father is above, the Spirit comes down from above. We're born from above. What do you think that means, Alex?
Born from above. We are born from God's grace and glory once again.
Okay. I would agree with that. We're born by grace through faith. We are saved. Go a little bit more detail. What does that mean? What is it? What practical? When somebody says, well, what do you mean born again? I don't get it.
born again in spirit, you know, like what I was doing once before, I am no longer doing.
Okay.
I'm born again.
Yeah, you're on the right path. So let me quote a verse to you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is what Jesus did for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God. I love that verse. Jesus made the way for us that none of us could make for ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So his shed blood, his resurrection is the way for us. We've already covered repentance. We're going to turn our mind towards God and get rid of everything that's not of God. And when we are willing to obey, Acts 5 says, God gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. And to be born from above, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. When we're born from above, something happens in us. Before we're born from above, we have a fallen nature, and that's all we really have. And we need God's help because we can do nothing without Christ, he tells us in John 15. But once we cry out to God by faith and repentance, and he sees a willing, obedient vessel, he will indwell us with the Holy Spirit, and we will become what 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 tells us.
Is that 2 Corinthians?
Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Is 13, 16, you said 17?
No, 15.
Oh, 15. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was risen for them.
All right, and keep going to 16 and 17.
So we have stopped evaluating others born from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun.
Amen. Amen. So it's, I got to tell you, in love, it's painful to listen to that translation because I think it lacks a lot of the meaning. I want to go to you and read it from King James. Let me get there real quick. It has the main area of it, but I want to read it for you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's close to what you read, but I think it's just a little crisper. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Do you see what it is to be a born-again creation of God?
Yeah.